was enough for the 3 points. Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero! What's called a Giroud header? And talk about an instant impact. Arsenal really are motoring now.
Good evening and welcome to another episode of the Football Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Reggie. Tonight we have Joe in the studio, we have Fred on the phone. And also, we're going to be talking about the normal things that we talk about here at the Football Weekly Podcast. We're going to be talking about the race in the EPL, which is coming down to the wire now. We're going to talk a little bit about Serie A. We're also going to be touching upon TFC's great start and the introduction to Alejandro Pozuelo, who was the man of the match and more in TFC's last game, in his debut game. So we'll talk about that. We also have an interview in the second half of the show with a member of the newly created York 9 CPL club. I'm not going to tell you the name. You're going to have to listen to the podcast to see who it is. But yeah, that's in the second half of the podcast, so stay tuned for that. But as usual, guys, you can get our podcast on our website, footballweekly.com, football spelled F-U-T-B-O-L, weekly.com. You can subscribe to our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player FM. We're on Spotify, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts. There's enough different ways to get to our podcast. So lots to talk about. Let's get into it. So sit back, relax, and get stuck in with the Football Weekly Podcast, and we'll be back after this.
I swear you'll never see anything like this ever again.
Jack Wilshere, Cazorla, Giroud again, Jack Wilshere! It's stunning from Arsenal!
How you doing? I'm Carmen Sackle from York University, and you're listening to Football Weekly Podcast.
Now, guys, I want to get this off my chest.
Oh, I don't have the energy for this.
Please, I have to get this off my chest.
You're a big guy. That's a big chest.
Yeah, I understand this, Joe, right. But listen to me. I'm flustered. I don't know what to say. I sent out a tweet.
I'm laughing. Yes.
I'll start from the beginning. I sent out a tweet about Pep Guardiola. Not exactly about Pep Guardiola.
Yes.
But more of coaching versus managing. There's a difference. Is there a difference, Joe? Fred? Is there a difference between a coach and a manager? Of course there is. Joe, please.
Oh, it's semantics.
Joe, don't look at me like
that. It's semantics.
Not semantics.
It is. It is. These guys are good managers.
And this is how it starts. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
I said, I don't think Pep Guardiola, I'm paraphrasing, I can't remember exactly what I said, but I think I said something like he's coached Barcelona, Bayern Munich, Man City. I don't even know if he can coach. Because for me, a coach is someone who pulls a player aside and says, for you to succeed in this game, you got to do X, Y, and Z. Why are you laughing? Because he buys all the players already established and puts them into a system, and we're looking at him like he's a genius. And I'm just saying, well, let's slow down a second here. It's a credit card club like PSG, ooh, Man City. Joe.
Okay, but aren't
I've read
all
you the stats.
But aren't all big clubs?
Read you the stats.
Okay, but you could say this too.
Every year, it's constant. Okay. Every year, $500 million, $300 million, $400 million. He spent in those three teams. He spent $1 billion in transfer over those three.
But all
teams.
These big managers do.
They
it,
don't,
Rich.
Joe.
No, they do. Don't.
Liverpool spent $1 billion.
Liverpool spending money.
Who spent $1 billion?
PSG spending money.
Oh my God.
Well, okay, but that's. But look at where he's coached.
Hold on a second. So I see Reggie's point, right? The only thing I can say where Pep was actually managing was when he was Barcelona. Since he left Barcelona, I can agree with Reggie that he hasn't managed any team. He's been just coaching really good players. Because Barcelona, he was doing both. He was managing and coaching likes Messi and stuff like that, trying to bring them up, getting Messi to kind of, in a way, place Javi and Iniesta kind of thing. So that, that too, right?
I don't know.
And then ever since that, everywhere he's gone, he's basically had an already made team. And it was just basically just kind of like, hey, go out there and do your thing. You know what I mean?
No, you still have to manage these guys.
So, okay, that's the point.
Them.
No, you manage them. You manage the egos.
You
keep everybody happy and you play the system that you implement.
It's not as simple as the best players win. And to be fair, he's never said, he's always said actually, It's about the players. He realizes, listen, guys, I've had Messi. And he says it. I've had Messi, Iniesta, Xavi. Okay. He never says he didn't. The thing is this. He doesn't deserve that, I don't know, God status. But he does deserve a ton of credit. He is one of the world's best managers we've ever seen. We cannot deny that. We can't. His results say it. In a league, in a world, in a time, in an era, whatever you want to call it, you need to have big players. Hold on a second. We talked about, look at the EPL, the top six teams. They're spending money, Reg. If Arsenal did open up the wallet, you would be happy. Because to win at the highest level, unfortunately in world football, you need those loose purse strings.
But that's not what I'm saying, Joel. I understand that you need...
But you still need to coach. You still need to manage these guys.
You have to manage them, yes.
Yeah, the managing part is done. The managing part, he got down, but I don't think he's coaching this place at this point.
Same thing, guys.
It's not the same thing.
So when you look at, and again, one of our followers on Twitter did a great job of mentioning this, Raheem Sterling, right? Who mentioned that? But that was great.
I forget.
But that was great. Like, you know, it's true. Like, listen. It's like this. It's about confidence. And okay, you want to call it managing confidence, man management? No problem. He still deserves credit. He deserves a lot of credit for what he does. He instills belief. I understand. He understands it too. He gets it. That he understands that he lives in a world, in a time where you have to do this. Joe, he understands.
It's like,
but to win, you got to do this.
It's like your wife bakes a cake. You bring the cake out to the table, and everyone says, "Oh, Joe, thank you very much. It's Reggie, beautiful."
You understand Bruyne, that it's hard to coach good players. Sergio Aguero
was banging in goals at Atletico Madrid before he came to Man City. Okay, so I don't think.
Okay, so what you're saying is what you're saying
Aguero
is
to wh- say, hey, you know what? You need to strike the ball this way, get into this.
So if you put Roy Hodgson to City, they win
with the squad that they have.
Yeah,
I think they come close.
Do they win?
I can't say if they're going to win or not. I don't know if they're going to win. I don't know if they're going to win this year. Pep's done is win the league.
I'm saying last year. Did they win with him last year?
Hodgson?
Yeah. Klopp.
Klopp, yes.
Good, but another top manager.
Yeah, but a top manager that can do things with a $400 million... I'm done with this. I want to move on. Can we agree to disagree? I've been disagreeing with you for five years about this. Let's get out of here.
Let's go. Fred, let's go. Go ahead, Fred.
Hold on. The stats between all the different coaches at Barcelona, it's the difference between the all four managers since Rijkaard, it's minimal. It's minimal difference.
Okay. The only thing I'll say is this. He does acknowledge that those were great players. And Busquets, Iniesta... Xavi.
In a time where he had to bring Spanish players because the Spanish Federation was like, why is our best team not playing Spanish players?
This is why. Hold on. PK, all these guys.
But they're all Spanish.
They came up from...
Oh, Joe, stop. Okay, let's go. Stop.
They came up from their youth academy.
I understand.
La Masia.
I understand that. So, but it's a time where Busquets came in and someone mentioned Busquets on the Twitter and it's like, yeah, Busquets, but... Guardiola came in saying, okay, you're Spanish, you need to play. Yaya Toure hit the bench. And Yaya Toure was the leader of that defensive midfield core.
But I do think he replaced him with quality. Do you not, Reg? He replaced him with Iniesta, Busquets.
I mean, come on, man. I get it. But if those players are from Argentina, they don't play.
Can we agree to disagree?
Fine.
Can we let Fred lead into your Arsenal being in third place? What's going right?
I know the tweets are going to come fast and furious about this. You know what?
I know a couple of guys said it. Like Jordan Feliciano said it too. I'm with him on this one.
Fighting everybody.
Okay, let's go, Fred. Tell us about why are the Gunners back up to third? What's going on?
Because Tottenham stinks.
I'm talking to Fred.
Joe. Things are working according to plan. That's all I got to say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, things are working according to plan. That's all I got to say. You know what I mean? Because it's funny enough, before we came in, I was actually just kind of checking out this new White Hart Lane Stadium.
Oh, okay, and now I'm you guys like, are going to knock this thing too?
I'm not knocking anything.
It's beautiful.
It's a rugby stadium. I'm not knocking it.
It's so nice. I want to go there now.
Joe, I'm not knocking it, but I'm just saying now I see see why it got delayed so much, you know what I mean? And I'm just kind of really trying to figure out what's going to happen at this new stadium, you know what I mean? But all I can say, all I say is just everything working according to plan, you know.
Why can't Arsenal just be like happy that you're in third? Like I see this interview, Ozil's got to say, "Oh, and we're ahead of Spurs."
We are happy, Joe. Listen, we are happy, Joe. But look, Spurs finished over us last year in 20 years, and look, and you know what I mean. They're still talking about it today.
They're still talking about that today.
Ozil should, anyways.
Why not?
You know what I mean?
It's a beautiful stadium. Stop hating the stadium, guys.
The Nike Stadium of Tottenham Hotspur at White Hart Lane Stadium. It's actually 900 names.
It's a really nice stadium.
I'm not hating the stadium.
You know what I like about the stadium the most is the little... I'm watching Reggie. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're going to say.
It's really cool.
What do you like about it?
They said Arsenal has a clock end and Tottenham has a you-know-what end, so...
So that's good, Reggie and Fred. I mean, listen, all kidding aside, great result for them. They're in third place, and yeah, they're ahead of their rival. We got to say though, it looks like United and Chelsea. I mean, they're in trouble.
Well, bad result for United today, right?
Yeah, bad result
Wolves,
for United.
Wolves, beat them 2-1,
and we'll get to the Chelsea thing. I mean, let's just deal with the Chelsea result. We'll get to the Cardiff City and the debacle of the referees, right, Fred? But
lucky.
Right. So just let's deal with the result.
2-1.
Who finishes sixth, guys? It's a question for you.
Tottenham.
Oh God, Reg. Really? Okay, well
they're falling, Joe. Tottenham. They're falling.
Yeah.
They're falling, Joe.
Just because
they're
really I can't trust you, Gunner guys. No. You're just gonna say Tottenham.
Look at the next thing you're gonna tell me is
Watford's gonna go ahead of them.
No. Look at the record. No. Look at what they've done in the last ten games.
They're free falling, Joe.
Terrible. And when can you sit in the stands and still talk to your coaches? I thought you weren't allowed to talk to the coaches in the stands. He was on the phone talking to the guy the whole time.
Yeah. Well, maybe the FA will look at that.
Well, maybe
he was trying to talk to and call Dele Alli, because where has he been?
Wow.
Like seriously,
this is the reason why everyone when Dele Alli has a good season, everyone, oh my God, this
well,
guy.
Well, to
this
be
guy,
fair, guys, and then he had comes a great
back down
season.
To earth. Yeah, he comes back down.
But
to
he's
earth.
Been really absent the last 2 years. Fred, no,
comes back down to earth.
Yeah, well, he's been injured too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So that could be playing a factor, but you know, he's a young kid coming up. He needs to shelve the attitude a little bit, and I think he'll be great. But
that's the reason he thought he made it. And Fred almost gave us
non-biased, non-Gunner opinion as Reggie's rolling his eyes.
He thought he had, he's like Lingard.
We are not allowed to talk about Arsenal or Tottenham anymore.
He's
today.
Like Lingard. He thought he made it already, and now they're turning into the player that they really are.
Moving on. And now we have to talk about Liverpool. Logan, guys, I know we miss Logan too. Logan's been busy.
Yeah.
Logan's globetrotting. Logan's a busy dude, but. We do miss him.
He's watching the Leafs.
Yeah, that's right. He's in the platinum seats. But obviously, so I'll talk for him in this case. Oh my God. Hey, Reg, we got to give the fans what they want. Stop. Okay, so
it's like one Liverpool fan out there.
So Liverpool continues to not go away, guys. There they are, keeping
lucky again. Tottenham hands them the game again.
You know, I can't believe I'm doing this.
What? You're agreeing with me?
No. I can't listen to this. I think they're top of the league.
Oh my God!
Jeez, we gotta cut that out, don't we?
Till tomorrow.
Until Friday.
Well, yeah. When does Cardiff play City tomorrow?
City tomorrow, don't they play?
Tomorrow.
Yeah, until tomorrow. So okay, so basically,
but Liverpool plays Southampton on Friday, and they're gonna lose. Yeah,
tough game, man.
You know this. You three guys are killing me on this. Anyway, and poor Logan's not even here. So Liverpool. Gets a result. Hey, they found a way. You got
to
give them credit.
They didn't get a result. It was given to them. They took it, but it was given to them.
So Liverpool finds a way. gets a result.
I'd rather put it like this. Tottenham finds a way to lose. That's how I put it. I wouldn't find a way to win to this.
Anyway, yeah, so Liverpool, rephrase it.
Oh, geez. So Liverpool's not going away. They're good, just like we said in our social media. They're good. They're sticking around. Mm-hmm. I'm more and more impressed by their two fullbacks every game. Mm-hmm. Like Robertson and Trent Alexander-Arnold. Oh,
I heard Robertson's the best right back in the world.
Left today. Their left back. Yeah. Well, no. Listen, I'm just gonna say I'm very impressed with them. Okay. I think, before they went on this run from last year too, I think it started when they went on their run to get to the Champions League final and so on again. I'm impressed by them, Reg. They're young. They're playing the game the right way, in the modern way. And we talk about giving managers credit. Here's where I give Klopp credit too. I mean, he's instilled this in them. I don't care what players you do have and don't have. Yes, you need the quality. I understand that. But Liverpool doesn't look like they're going away. A sad thing for a Liverpool fan, maybe not for these guys here on our pod, but they could go on this run and still finish behind City and have a great year.
Yeah.
With these two teams that are so close and neck and neck, in any other year, this means that you win.
I don't think it's a great year because they were 10 points up at Christmas. And if they lose the league, that's not a good year, I don't think.
Don't win the league, Joe. I don't think it's going to be considered a great year for them.
Nope.
Wow, you guys have to win
champions. They'd have to win Champions League, and I don't see them doing that either.
Yeah.
Tough crowd.
No, I'm being serious.
No, it's a great year. If they finish second, Fred, Reggie,
no
and they
chance
get,
that's a great year.
That's not a great year.
Nope.
It's no chance.
Not when you're up, so not when you're up finished. 10 points in December.
Okay, so they,
it's
in
December.
It's March.
It's 3 months later, and you're behind by two, and you come in second. How is this a great year?
You know that Logan's gonna owe me the best steak dinner after this, and I'm not even. I'm just telling you. Listen,
sure, come on.
So, but they could be on. It's one of those years where those two teams can finish with a record amount of points, and any other year, this wins the league by a landslide, and they might not win the league.
So if you come up with your record amount of points, which is 150 points, say you get 150 points, and the team above you gets 151, and you were up by 50 points in December, and you lose the league, how is this a good season?
All I'm saying is,
I'm just saying
that you got to give them their due. They are having a good season.
Okay, they're having a good season
on the verge of great.
If they don't win the league, it's not a good season. Okay,
I agree.
Okay, Joe.
Did you say if they don't win the league, it's not a good season?
No. Joe, they were up. They were up by 10 points 3 months ago.
That's 3 months. Guys, it's not a great season.
It's not a great season.
Yeah, it is a great
Joe,
season.
Joe, it's not a great
it's
season.
A great season.
It's not a great season. It's not a great season. So no trophies and winning nothing and then being up 10 points in December and winning nothing is a great season. Then I don't want you coaching me. Please.
I want to move on again. Okay. I want to play the move on card.
Let's go.
Okay. Cardiff. Right. Cardiff. Wow.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what you say about
that. Neil Warnock have a more than legitimate argument?
But what can you do? You go into the official's office and they say, "Yeah, sorry, we missed it."
Like, what are you watching?
What can you do?
I don't know. That's
for those of you that, for those of you that don't know. If you haven't seen the what we're talking about, Chelsea played Cardiff over the weekend and scored a goal that was maybe it had to be. There was two guys that had to be a foot offside, like. When I first saw the picture, I thought Chelsea was defending. That's how offside it was.
What's the lino looking at?
What's the what?
The line's been looking at? What's the lino looking at?
I don't know.
I mean, I need to know that.
I don't know. And the excuse is I missed it. It's like, what?
He's claiming his view was blocked from the guy who took the corner. Impossible. But what the hell he goes stand? Why you go stand behind the guy who's taking the corner?
It's impossible to be blind. You can't see that. You have a better angle right there than to see the guy's offside from there. What are you talking about?
So we're gonna play bottom line. Man. We're gonna play that bottom line here. Bottom line, which is bad for Cardiff. Awful for Cardiff. And our Canadian junior Hoylett, right?
Yep.
So. Who might, he impresses me a lot every time. But anyhow.
He finds another team if they go down.
Yeah,
maybe he comes
I hope so.
To
Ooh, I don't know. Oh.
CP,
nah, maybe
no?
TFC,
TFC,
right? I would hope it's.
Okay, we'll
but
see.
Anyway, but so I just think this. I got to think. So you guys can correct me if I'm wrong. Mm-hmm. This now is, they're now 6 points below Burnley.
I believe so. Six, five or six, I think.
Are we something like that?
Six.
Like that.
Six? Okay.
Six.
Yep.
That is.
Six.
This is, and Neil Warnock sounds off on the refs saying, again, I'm going to paraphrase, best league in the world,
worst
referees.
Oh, they're terrible. All of them. Michael right? Oliver. Michael Oliver is good.
Good old my Dean gave a 100th red card today.
Oh, he's so bad, that guy.
I don't know, guys. So I mean, look, Fred, we've been talking about, okay, Reggie's been saying this for years. Yep. Referees need to be accountable.
Yep.
And they need to face a firing squad, if you will, or at least, you know, defend what they did.
Yep.
Fred, I don't know if we want to go that far, but this is bad, isn't it, Fred?
It's very bad. And, you know, I was just thinking the other day after the game, I'm like, could it be that these refs are just kind of like waiting for VAR and basically, you know,
help me out?
Get, yeah, you know what I mean? Because it's getting so hard that it looks like they can't get anything right. You know what I mean?
The problem is this, and I'll tell you exactly what the problem is. And you can take it to the bank and put all your money on it, okay? This is the problem. The problem is the referees aren't fit enough to keep up with the play of the play of the in the EPL. And I'll tell you, what they need to be doing is training with trainers that train the teams and get them as fit as the players so they can keep up with the play. I don't expect anyone to be as fast as Mbappe running down the line to see if he's offside or not. No one's as fast as him. I get it. But for 95% of the rest of the league, you should be able to run up and down half the field as a linesman for 90 minutes and not be out of position. And I think it has something to do with fitness. You look at these referees, and some of them don't look like they should be refereeing.
I could say that. I could say that in the EPL, that's kind of true.
Because you're going to see
that in the Bundesliga or Serie A.
Exactly, because they probably
which
train
doesn't
better.
Mean the referees are better, but I'm just saying.
But if you go to the World Cup and you don't have any referees from your league there, There's something wrong. There's something wrong.
That's
right?
True.
So I don't know.
But I heard
that's definitely
the pies
true.
They have at the stadium are really good.
And I bet they're these guys are eating them.
I just like
at halftime.
I just like to say the pies. That's pretty cool.
There's a glass of wine or a pint of beer and some
Right to your point,
puka pies.
I'm kidding, but I'm not. It's the standard. I think the standard needs to be raised. I get it for sure. The point is. Poor Neil Warnock, right, and stuff like that. There's too much on the line, is what we're saying. Like, this could be millions of dollars.
It's a $50 million mistake if they get relegated.
Like, you know, and
that's true.
Fred, you're saying that maybe they are waiting for VAR. They want help.
Yeah, they'll still get it wrong. They'll still get VAR wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I think. And if that's the way of crying out for help, then that's really wrong. Well, you can't just, that's true, you know, throw make bad decisions just because you need help, you know? Someone was made a great point this week. I was listening to one of these guys on TalkSport, and they were questioning how come the ex-footballers are not training to become refs and linesmen, which is a good point because some of these refs and the linesmen probably haven't played the game before. They're just learning to become ref or linesman. But if you can get someone who's actually played the game before. You know what I mean? Some of these calls might be made better.
Well, that's what Neil Warnock said. Warnock said the referees understand the laws of the game, but they don't understand the game. And that's what
the
he
game,
said. That's,
yeah,
that's
right?
What he said, right?
Yeah, I think he said stuff that we all think, he said stuff, and he's saying things that unfortunately are hard to hear, but, you know, part of it's true. You know, that was shocking. Yeah, that was really bad. I mean, there's plays that are going to get missed, because especially with Novar. Okay, I know not.
Next year it'll be here.
Yeah, but I know it's not perfect. But I'm saying there's stuff that's missed that is just costing too much. Yeah. It's just
I know the
stakes are just too high, especially in the EPL. Yeah. Like, there's, you know, it's the most lucrative league in the world.
Yep.
Right, but it could cost you. And you know, we all know when you get relegated, and you're not, I don't know, you're not a. Who could we say that, you know, usually
bounces right back up?
Like, you're not a club
like a Wolves or something.
Or even Aston Villa sometimes. Yeah. I'm thinking of teams like that. Like, you know, like, this is Cardiff. And, you know, if they go down,
it might be the end.
They might be there for, like, okay, Huddersfield was gone anyway. But, like, if that was them, like, this is really tough.
Well, it's like, Well, Swansea was relegated a couple of seasons ago. And we haven't seen them.
You know,
right?
Back once. So it's for one decision. And, like, this is now, you know, that's a huge deal. This is... You know what? And people say, "Wow, Neil Warnock sounds like a..." I don't know what he sounds like. I actually appreciate his honesty. I appreciate him saying this.
The referees.
Now people are going to yell at me, but I don't know.
The referees are horrendous.
His complaining were legit. I can't fault for the guy for saying whatever he said, because you can't make such mistakes, like you said, Joe. You know what I mean? It's crazy.
You know, like, and this is his. We talked about the top of the table with the pressure. We know this. The bottom of the table is more pressure. There's no doubt there's more pressure. Staying up compared to, you know, finishing first or second. Oh, you choked out, you finished second or third. Mm-hmm. This is staying up. Like, these guys, we have guys that just come in to manage just to keep them up, whatever team it is.
And not to bring this back to where we started, but this makes good coaching goes to waste because they had 3 weeks to prepare for this game. Mm-hmm. They were winning, mm-hmm. and the refs screwed it all up.
Yeah, they had something in. They deserved something.
Joe, imagine that. You prepare for 3 weeks for this game, and you have it to a T for 85 minutes, and then that happens?
It's devastating.
You know what I mean? It's crazy.
And there's a stuff we can't measure because it's like, wow, what's going to carry on to the next game? But that stuff. I feel for Neil Warnock. I feel for Cardiff, you know.
Well, he's been saying it all season that they get the lower teams get the short end of the
stick.
It's just, anyway.
Yeah. It was really sickening to watch. But anyhow, in the same game, we'll move on. But wow, from we want sorry out to 3 points. So anyway, strange game, this football.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so I guess we're moving on. Do I cry or we'll go? Let's go with good stuff. TFC. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I heard after one of the goals, I heard TFC has a new hero. Have we forgotten about Seba already?
And then a hero comes along. That's pretty good.
That's pretty good, actually, Joe.
That's pretty good.
Actually, quality.
Oh, wow. That's amazing.
Have we forgotten about Seba? Wearing his number too.
That was a sign, wasn't it?
But that guy is quality. That second goal he scored, I don't know. That's a great goal.
First of all, I was telling you, I said, I don't know. This guy, I've been watching his stuff at Genk.
Yeah.
I said, right, Reggie, well, it looks good. It looks pretty. Like I told you, I'm that crazy guy. I watched this whole Europa League game.
Yeah.
Right? On his own. I'm like, this guy's pretty good. And he just balled out.
He was crazy.
And I know it's one game, but Fred, that one game was pretty impressive.
Hey, sometimes that's all you need, that one game to get you lifted there and keep going like that, and it becomes unstoppable. Look at Mo Salah's Liverpool's first season, right?
Went on a run, yeah.
Right? You just got that luck, and then you write it all for all season. So let's hope that's the case here. You know what I mean?
But we say it's the first game. It was adrenaline and all that stuff. And you can say that if he was one of the best players on the team, if there was someone else who played as well as him. But he was hands down the best player on that field. And I think it's going to be like that going forward for the rest of the season.
And I think so too, because he looks really fantastic. Like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
Ball, left, right foot, doesn't matter, right?
Well, I couldn't tell which foot he was, right. And then I think John Molinaro asked him in an interview, said, "Who? What is it?" And his dominant foot is his right foot.
Okay,
and he's look what he was doing with his left. Wow, amazing! Yeah, I got to give credit to Reggie here. We're watching the game. I was at the game.
Okay,
and Reg texts me saying, you know, he allows Bradley to be Bradley.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's a great point. Because, you know, when Michael Bradley is that engine who's just running, winning the ball, you know, and recovering balls, great fitness, great leadership, you know, strong, you know, good enough technically.
Best player on the field.
Right. And lets the other guys, you know, like a player like Pozuelo, do his thing, pulling the strings. Bradley looks fantastic.
If you have him having to win the ball and then play the last ball through to Altidore, then he doesn't look as good, right?
Yeah, I just think that was a great point. I think that's we're gonna agree again, Rick Harrison. Sorry about that. But
when I'm right, I'm right.
Yeah, right. So but you know, that's a good point. I thought that was well said, and that's the truth. He lets him be who he is, and there's that thing where, you know, one player affects the game because of his effect on the other players and what not only they allows players to do, but what they allow players that they don't have to do.
Right, exactly. That's a better point. Yeah. That's a better point.
So that's it. Wow, that's quick. And now I can cry.
Let's cry.
Well, first of all, we're going to talk about this, guys. We're going to get more information on this. We'd be remiss to not say this. So today there was two games in Serie A. AC Milan, of course, dropping points. It's back to the struggles, right? Christoph Piontek scores again, though. 20 goals. This guy's...
Bang, bang.
Yeah, boom, boom. So,
Okay,
but then again, Kevin Lasagna, insert joke here, scored the tying goal. And, you know, they drop points. But So I'm crying.
Really cheesy goal.
Oh.
See what I did there?
Saucy. Nice. But so again, there's that. But again, so Juventus beats Cagliari 2-0 today.
Okay.
Moise Keane scores a goal. Oddly enough, Bonucci scored a goal. This is the bad part. Hate this. Hate it. Moise Keane celebrates in front of the Cagliari fans and is taunted with racial slurs.
Okay.
That's not even the worst of it. We're going to get more of the, which is awful, guys. We know that. Awful. Okay. More of the story says that even Bonucci at the end of the game says, and again, he says, you know, this is not a good thing. Yeah, and I'm trying to put this in the best way. He kind of doesn't give blame to Moise Keane. He says, well, you know, he's got to know better not to incite the crowd. And it's like, yikes. I mean, you know what? I think if he had a choice.
You don't deserve that.
Bingo. And I think if he had a choice to maybe, you know, rethink that, we got to rethink that. And I'm not this guy who wants to just, you know, jump on something for it, for the sake of jumping on it. I'm telling you guys, obviously we all know, of course, on the pod, all of us here, we think it's ridiculous. No one should go through that. But we're going to get more information on it. Is that fair, Reg?
Yeah, for Fred, sure.
We'll get more information on it. And we're not going to gloss over it, right, Fred? We will talk about it more in our next pod, because that's pretty important. Sure. Yeah. Is that fair?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's fair.
And he's a striker for the Italian national team. Too,
he's a great young player, I got to say, right? So no one deserves that. So I will focus on the good of it, but we will talk about this. I'm not saying we won't. We'll get more information, and we're going to address it for sure, because I want to get the proper information. But I know that our listeners would be saying, hey, how come you guys didn't talk about that? You just talked about the score. So we will talk about that, and that's an awful, awful situation, which unfortunately keeps rearing its ugly head. And more often than not, sometimes in Serie A.
I have a feeling empty stadiums are coming, but let's go on to the better part of Serie A. Well, I don't know if it's better for you.
I don't understand, Reg. I'm struggling today. Everyone says, oh, you only talk about AC Milan. But I'm struggling. What do you want me to say?
Well,
okay, so we can talk about something else.
You want to talk about Serie A?
I don't really want to today, but I have a job to do, I feel.
Okay.
So
if you don't want to, I can end the show.
Well, you know.
Or we can go to the second half.
Let's leave it with this.
We have an interview.
On the soap opera aspect of it, Mauro Icardi has been called back into the team by Spalletti.
Of course.
And of course, right, Reg? You came under losing against Lazio. You need the guy. I don't know what you're going to do in the future, but right now, today,
you
need
me
to do it. And you need to finish third and get your and secure yourself in Champions League.
And then you can
play him. And then you can do it. Let me go with that? Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
All right. I'm bitter.
That's
we're good.
It?
I'm good. Are you good?
I'm good.
Okay. What a stadium.
You're good, Joe?
Has. Guys, the stadium Tottenham has is beautiful.
Okay, guys.
All right, okay.
No.
Guys, we're not
we're good.
We're not going to do that.
Okay.
So stay with us for the second half of the show. We have a special interview that Joe's been teasing it for a couple of days now on Twitter.
The interview is brought to us by our friends at First Touch Football, Marcus Hansen and the boys, FTF, doing great things, and the interview that you're going to hear.
Well, let's we'll save the name for after this break here. Stay tuned.
It's Pozuelo. Pozuelo! My word! Alejandro Pozuelo! Magnificent! Toronto has a new hero! Alejandro Pozuelo!
So Joe's been teasing this interview on Twitter for a couple of days, and we're getting some good guesses.
Yeah.
We got some good guesses about our special guest today. We have a former Canadian youth international, a former Greek Super League player, a CPL draftee for the York Nine. What is their, do they have a nickname?
I think it's just York Nine.
Just York Nine. So he was drafted by the newly formed CPL York Nine team, currently attending York University as well, playing for them, I'm assuming, as well.
Yeah.
So on the phone with us tonight, we have Emmanuel Zimbassis. How are you, buddy?
Good. Thanks for having me, guys.
Not a problem. Joe's been telling me so much about you for at least a good 2 years now.
Yeah, at least. Well,
it's finally nice to have you on.
Now, so Reggie was saying, so I'll be going back and forth. It's Emmanuel. I call him Mano. Yeah. Other guys call him Manu, all that stuff. But, you know, Manny, but he's got them all the names.
Manu starts sounds like Man U.
Yeah, there it is. Reggie, you're a Man United fan.
We can't have that.
We'll get to that.
Yeah.
Tough day for United fans, well, but not so much better for AC Milan fans, so we can have our misery together. Reggie's obviously happy with the Gunners. But,
big smile.
Yeah. So we've talked a little bit about him over the years, Reg. I think if we go through the podcast history, mm-hmm. we talk about Emmanuel, we talk about his doing his thing in Greece and so on, and we finally have him back on Canadian soil, and it's pretty amazing that he's going to be plying his trade. He's currently in training camp with York 9, you mentioned, and he's going to be part of the inaugural season.
Beautiful.
Right? So this is what Canadian players are finally getting a chance to do, like Emmanuel, who's had to go overseas, right? And so I'll give a little bit of a background, not too much. I can probably be here forever with this, but easily as great as a footballer as this young man is, I think anybody who's met him, had the chance to deal with him, will say he's an even better person. He's awesome. He's great. True professional. 1997 born, just like a lot of the 97 borns we've talked about, like Kamal Miller, currently with Orlando City, and Dane St. Clair of Minnesota United. Pretty good that all three of these guys, Reg, I remember. Is it story time, Nano and Reg? At local park here at for Vaughan Soccer Club when Emmanuel was with me. And Patrice, who's been on the show as well, was getting these guys ready. We were doing extra fitness in the dark. The lights had went out. And Patrice said, we're almost done. Right? And we could just, it was almost like we had the car lights on, headlights.
Yeah.
And it was actually another one too. I think it was Dayon Harris, who's currently at UConn. Another Canadian youth international. Kamal. I think Dane was there too, but Emmanuel was there too, and they were running and doing some extra sprints and extra work, and they were going to camp pretty soon. Remember that, Emmanuel?
Yeah, how could I not remember that?
So that was Emmanuel. So quick, brief, Emmanuel, I've been coaching on and off since he was about 14 years old. We started at Markham Soccer Club with Matthew Laurent, right? We've had on the show, and we talked about, and we followed him as well. Who's doing his thing now in USL. And then Mano was with me with Mississauga Falcons. We had a nice run there. Of course, Mano was an integral part of that team, you know, winning provincial championships, going off to nationals, all that stuff.
Great. It's quite a resume.
Yeah, good player. And then, of course, he joined me in Vaughan. And then, so Reg, just like you, we talked about this with Marcus last week from FTF.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, we'd be remiss by saying, so this interview today is part of our great relationship with Marcus Hansen and FTF and these guys there. So they're actually bringing you this interview. So thank you to those guys.
Yep.
Mano was getting ready. Just like we talked about, Reg, you went down south NCAA. Mano was looking to do the same kind of thing as part of our scholarship program. And then Mano, one day, to fast forward, you say to your dad, who, by the way, the legendary Kazi Zambasis, was a great player in his own right. He was part of the Canadian pool right before they went to the World Cup. That's worth noting. Won a national championship with University of Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
So, man, what happened? So you're doing this thing. You're getting ready to, you know, hey, like, you know, maybe getting a scholarship to a big school, Canadian Youth International. And, man, what's going on? Then you say to dad, mom?
Yeah, they weren't sure that it was the right option for me, but I really wanted it. And there was nothing that was going to stop me, really. I told them that I needed to go.
And when you say you needed to go pro?
Yeah, to go pro, yeah. An opportunity came up. I'd gone down, actually, in the March break and trained with a few teams there, a few first division teams there. Mm-hmm. And they wanted me to go back in the summer for training camp. And a couple weeks before, an opportunity came up for me to go to a second division team. And I would be training with the first team and finishing also high school there. So schedule, it worked out well, yeah. And I ended up signing with a second division team there. And I played 3 years for that team.
So man, when you first went, you were training, who was the first division team you were training with? I know, but like you can let the people know.
When I originally went during the March break, I trained with Panathinaikos and AEK. So two big teams in Greece.
Reg, like played like Europa League, Champions League teams. Yeah. Like, you know, like they've been there, right? So
And AEK wanted me to go back in the summer, and a couple weeks before, like I said, I got an opportunity to go to a second division team where I could train with the first team. That was a big part of it.
And Emmanuel was 17 at the time, Reg.
So you go play with the second division team so you can get all the playing time and still train with the first team, right?
Yeah. The first year I didn't play. Okay. But the second year I made some appearances and I played in the cup as well, which I'll never forget because we made a run all the way to the semifinals. So, you know, for a team coming up from second division, that was unheard of.
Right.
So it was amazing to be a part of that.
And the club, Mano, was at Heracles, right? Heracles FC?
Yeah.
So pretty good, eh, Reg? 17 years old.
Not bad.
So here's a guy like who's like, you know, gained respect from his teammates just by doing the right thing.
Right.
He's a textbook, right? Like just that earned respect just by, like I said, being like always training, wanted to train more and more all the time. Right, not very loud, led by example. Here are his parents saying, "Okay, we're gonna let you go." Moves there by himself, correct, Mano?
Yep.
On his
own. I live there by myself, so yeah.
Never lived on his own, Reg. 17, all that stuff. Right, had to learn, cook, clean, all that stuff with him.
Those are good lessons, though. Yeah, right?
Absolutely,
those are life lessons.
Oh yeah, that first year was very difficult. You know,
had to grow up pretty fast.
Had to learn to do everything on my own.
I bet. What was the driving factor, or what was the mindset when you finally made the decision? You know what? I'm not going to go to NCAA. You know, I want to go pro. What's the driving factor towards it? I know everyone's going to say, "Oh, I want to make the money. I want to play pro and all this stuff," but you have to have a special, you know, something in you to know that you can go pro and do it well. Everybody wants to play pro, but what was your factor?
Yeah, for me, ever since I was a little boy, that's all I wanted to do is just play football, you know?
Yeah.
Just make it pro and get to do what I love. Every time I step on the field, I just, you know, I'm doing what I love, and that's it. That was the drive for me.
Yeah.
I just love playing.
It's like everybody wants to go pro, but nobody wants to do the work, right? Everybody.
I'm telling you, Reggie, this is the guy that everywhere I went with Mano, we had good players, good guys, and they all speak highly of him and as a person and stuff. But they all would say, you know, he just loves to train, and he would get excited for training. I never seen a kid like this who would get so excited to train and to play. You know, I have stories to go on and on, but you know, we were in Maryland. Right. Hey, Reggie.
Yeah.
Spent some time in Maryland, man.
Yeah, a little
right?
bit. Yeah.
You see, right? And so we were down there for a showcase and Potomac, Reg, Potomac. Right?
Yeah.
Right. And so I'm sharing a room with his dad and him. So I was in like a suite. So I was in the adjoining room, I should say, in the morning, 7 a.m., getting ready. Got to get the guys ready for an 8 o'clock or 8:30, you know, walk about, stretch out the muscles before our breakfast and so on, get ready for our game. And, you know, of course, young guys who are, what, 15, 16,
yeah.
7 a.m., yeah, right? Yeah, ain't
know.
Cool, right? It's not the thing to do. So there's Mano, who's, you know, worth mentioning, played a year up his whole life, pretty much. So these guys are a year older than him. So I'm up, you know, getting ready, and I figure his dad's up with me. No, it's Emmanuel, and he's playing with a little Champions League ball. That's when you can put in the Champions League music, right? And he's just knocking the ball. He just wants to play and just... You know, that ball followed him everywhere. And you know, all the guys just respected him because he would just do his thing. And, you know, every team we were on, no matter what, all the guys would always run to his rescue because, you know, he was getting kicked so much because he was so good.
So good, yeah.
Right? So, you know, those guys, I mean, I wasn't like that, but, I was the guy kicking. Yeah, I was trying to get kicking. I kick your ankles, man. But that was him. And he loved to train. You know, he was 14, 15, 16, whatever. He'd be training with us, whatever team we were with. And then he'd go get some extra training with some men's teams, right? And he would ask, you know, and he'd say, "Is that okay after our training?" And the kid just loved to train. I mean, Mano was that. I mean, he says he loves it, but it's true.
Loves to play. Now, Mano, I know that you're just started with the CPL team, York 9. How did that come about? I know you were playing at, I don't know, were you playing at York first and then went to York 9?
I went to York University this past year. I played there in the U Sports competition there and I got drafted.
Oh, wow. So what's the U Sports portion? What's that? University sports, I guess?
It's the university. University sports for in Canada.
Okay.
And we used to call CIS.
Yeah.
Okay. CIU.
Oh, okay.
U Sports, yeah.
It's U Sports now? Excellent. That's great. That's another avenue, Joe. We're always talking about avenues into pro soccer.
Something new avenue, and something different. And again, I get the guys, you know, Marcus and the FTF guys are doing a great job shedding light on. This is the new kind of thing where for the first time ever, obviously we have CPL coming in, they had a draft, right? Just like the MLS draft or different drafts, they used U Sports. Right? Canadian university system. So you had these players like Emmanuel Zambassis, like Daniel Gogarty, also Emmanuel's teammate at York University, playing under our legendary Carmen Asako.
Ooh.
Right? and so they got drafted through the U Sports draft and now are part of CPL rosters, right? Other guys, I know there's a ton of them, but even Jace Katsopoulos, you know, getting drafted out of Guelph, played with Vaughn too as well, and I believe he got drafted to Forge FC. So this is another avenue, Reg, and Emmanuel's part of that. Where again, here's Emmanuel, had to go overseas, like many players.
Right.
And then, so Emmanuel, we'll go a little bit further back. So you're with Heracles, you guys start in the second division, but you're getting some playing time, had a good run in the cup. You guys had a good year. You guys got promoted, right? In one of the years you were there?
Yeah. We got promoted the first year that I went. The year that I didn't play, we got promoted to first division. And then in first division the following year, we made that cup run where I actually got a lot of games. I played in all three of the group stage matches, in the knockout matches as well. So, and we actually should have made it to the final, but it was just an amazing thing to be a part of. It was a fantastic experience to make, you know, that big of a run in the cup coming up from second division.
So you're playing Panathinaikos, you're playing Olympiakos and teams like that.
Yeah. If we had made it to the final, we would have played Olympiakos. So,
oh, wow.
I mean, amazing.
Yeah.
Man.
And how old? 17 at this point?
I was 18 at 18? That point. Yeah.
Wow. Pretty amazing. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. And training first. And again, for those us, you know, maybe not familiar with the other teams in the Greek Super League and so on, but on Emmanuel's team, you got guys from, you got Brazilian guys, Argentinian guys who applied their trade in those first divisions.
We had a lot of foreigners,
right?
Yeah.
And here's a young Canadian kid playing in that in that environment, right? It's priceless. Just right, Reg. Yeah, I mean, come on.
The experience is as you said, it's priceless, right? So it's not something that you could probably get here at the time.
Absolutely not, for
sure. But getting there, I think.
Yeah.
We're starting to slowly build towards that, where our players might not have to go overseas.
And that's what we want with CPL, right?
Right, exactly.
So, Emmanuel, you played, again, this is a pretty famous exhibition game, friendly match, if you will, against an Italian team. You want to tell us about that? You played against Fiorentina,
yeah,
right?
We played against Fiorentina. That was something else. It was an amazing experience, you know, to be up against guys like, you know, Bernardeschi, Ilicic, who was there at the time, Astori. Wow. I got on in the 60th minute. I played 30 minutes. It was an amazing experience.
That's amazing. That's like we say, priceless experience.
Right,
and you're not gonna get that. You're not gonna get that anywhere, right? So,
Emmanuel, what did you notice? Like, what's the difference? Like, you're playing against these, like a team like Fiorentina. What did you notice about maybe in the game, in the play, or even the way some of these guys, you know, carry themselves? Anything that stood out to you? Like, it doesn't have to be that game, but just in general, what stood out about being a pro, or what you see with these top players in Europe? What stood out to you?
Yeah, that's exactly it. They were pros. It didn't matter who they were playing. You know, they were playing a Greek team. We probably meant nothing to them. You know, and they still carried on the same way. Right? They acted like pros on the field and off the field. Just the way they played as well. The tempo was unbelievable, right? Yeah. They didn't slow down. They kept up and they wanted to win. That was the thing, is they didn't want to lose.
Nothing changed, right? From game to game, right?
Yeah. It was like they were playing a regular season game.
Yeah. It could be Juve, it could be AC, it could be anybody.
Doesn't matter.
They play the same way.
No, Emmanuel, you had an experience. It was, I believe it was Paulo Souza coaching that game.
Yeah.
And then after the game, I think were you able to talk to him or shake his hand and stuff?
I shook his hand. I didn't get to talk to him. I think there would have been a little bit of a language problem with the language there. But you could see the respect the fans had for him. He was you know,
top player, right?
they packed the stadium, and the moment he walked in, the standing ovation immediately, right?
Yeah, amazing.
It was amazing, yeah.
And so, again, we talked about speed of play. Emmanuel mentioned the tempo, up tempo, yep. Like, you know, everything is top notch and so on. What did you find was the most difficult thing, Emmanuel, about every day in training? Because, I mean, here's the question. You're a Canadian. Did you have to fight against who is this Canadian guy? Where is he from? Like, was that something you had to battle through initially? Of course.
Of course. They look down on Canadians, right? They don't rate Canadians, right, in Europe. Mm-hmm. So it was something that I had to deal with, where I basically had to show myself every day in training that I could play. You know, that I needed to get them to believe in me.
Eventually, did one or two guys maybe befriend you? Was there a guy that, like, you know, an older guy that kind of took you under his wing? Or how did you get to that level where you've...
There were a few guys. A few of the foreigners as well were amazing guys and great players. They took me under. They would always look to help me every day in training. They would try to teach me different things, you know, whether that was on the field, off in the gym, just always trying to help me out.
And again, I mean, with Manuel being a gym rat and a sponge, I'm sure that it was probably very easy.
It sounds like it.
So then Heracles, I mean, we're going pretty fast forward, but we're going to move on. So Heracles, again, here's the downfall of, like, sometimes the league that is in Greece. Obviously, a lot of turmoil sometimes with different stuff with the federation. I know I'm just kind of glossing over stuff, but long story short, Heracles at the end of one season has financial difficulties, and the team actually, man, I think, like, all contracts were, like, void, like, yeah, right? And then
they were all void. All the players, everybody left.
Wow.
So it's still, I don't know. I still don't understand the reasons why why we got relegated. It was through the court. Even though we had actually stayed up, we didn't finish in relegation zone.
But on the field, you did it. But again, litigation, court stuff. You're not. So then you're without a home. So you don't know. You're like, well, you're up in arms. You're trying to find a new home in Europe and stuff. So exactly what the CPL looks to address, right, Reg?
Right on.
So here's a guy. What's he going to do? I'm not sure. You're still a Canadian, right? You made a few appearances, right, Manuel? But still looking for a home. So then you come home, and then what?
And an opportunity comes up for me to go to York and play there for a year.
And what drew you to York? Like, what was the calling? Like, what would say, okay, York's a good home for me. U Sports is a good home for me. What was the driving force for that?
Well, it had to be Carm, just an amazing coach and more an amazing person. He just understands you so well, and his coaching is amazing. He was a driving factor for me. His ability, I believe that I could develop more and become a better player with him as my coach.
So I guess he'd be the driving factor for the reason why you play for York 9 then, I guess.
Jimmy Brennan is an amazing coach. We've only been together now 4 weeks.
Right.
But you can see that he understands the game really well. He's a fantastic coach. He's always talking to us.
Yeah, for sure. Just, I guess what we're saying is, I guess, you know, Carm having the eye on you, right, and working with you at York, it was a nice thing. Of course, you know, a driving factor in terms of saying, hey, you know what, I know this kid. We see him. You guys should take a look. And, of course, ultimately, the CPL scouts and Jim Brennan and all the CPL coaches were actually, this is a great thing, we're watching U Sports this year, which was amazing.
Right.
Right, man? So all those coaches, whether it be Stephen Hart, Jim Brennan, you know, Jeff Paulus, you know, the list goes on and on. Bobby Smyrnidis, they were actually, they make the trip out to the Nationals, right? And the Nationals, Mano, were in, correct me here, in BC, were they?
BC, yes. Yeah,
and so, of course, Emmanuel played a great game with the entire York team to get to Nationals. I remember watching the game online, and I know we got friends, Philip Prostrand and Casey at Ryerson, who we love, and they're awesome guys. Mano played a great game in that game. Fantastic. I don't think he gave a ball away. I think he made every pass. Not bad, eh, Reg? For defense, you know, in midfield.
That's okay.
Yeah, and so they qualify for Nationals. And like we said, all those CPL coaches are there, Reg. And you got all these guys. And then credit to all of them, whether it be Jim Brennan, like we said, all the other coaches, they're there and they're watching the Canadian National Championship. And that was great. I mean, that's a – and, you know, we talk about, well, you know, who's the driving force? They watch Mano there. Mano, I think they watched you – I think every game there, correct?
Yeah.
And did they approach you there, Mano? Did anybody approach you there? Or when was your first, like, interaction with them?
No one actually approached me there. It was just after the fact when we had gotten home I got the phone call.
Can you tell us a little bit about it? So how does that work? What did they tell? So this is unique because you are drafted to the a professional team, but you're still allowed to play on the university, team. How does that work, Manuel?
Yeah, so basically it's a developmental contract where I'm allowed to play up until August, and then then the preseason starts for York University, where I would be allowed to go play there. Interesting. And go back to school.
So could you? Yeah. So at that point, you have to go back to York, or can you do both? Did they tell you yet, or you don't even know yet? We don't even know yet, do we, man?
No, I actually don't even know yet.
So sorry,
I couldn't tell you.
That's pretty good, though, eh, Reg?
Yeah,
I mean, great. You get to play. You're still applying your trade in a pro level.
Yeah,
and still
get to play at university and go to school.
Right, at the same because time. Players are ready at different times, right? So we mentioned Daniel Goberty. We also should mention Emmanuel's other teammate, Dylan Carrero, who was at York, a former Canadian Youth International, played in Scotland as well professionally, has now gone back home to play at Valor, right, with Dylan Sacramento, who's also from there and was a Vaughan player as well, is also at York University. So, I mean, great opportunity is what we're talking about. So, Mano, what are you looking for in terms of the CPL, the league, and what it means to, of course, Canadian soccer and to Emmanuel Zimbazis?
Yeah, well, first of all, it's a great idea to have a Canadian Pro League. It allows young Canadians to develop and have something to thrive for. I believe that it will improve the national team program as well. So that's a big thing. You know, they have more players to look at. And I hope it will be supported. I hope that it keeps getting stronger and it can grow into a well-recognized league, right, around the world. And I'm happy to be a part of it.
Well, Joe and I,
exciting times.
Joe and I were always talking about we've needed a domestic league in Canada for, I don't know how long, Joe, a couple of years now.
For sure, as long as we've been doing the pod, yeah.
Because guys come back from university and then if you're an exceptional player, you might get a look at MLS, USL, I guess back then it was League One as well. Yeah. But there was nowhere really for someone to play pro if you weren't that elite Canadian soccer player. And now this league is giving the chance for guys that maybe aren't elite, but they can work on getting to that elite
level.
That's
a good point.
And I think this league has been long overdue. And I'm glad that there's money being pumped into it. So it'll be around for a while.
For sure.
I think they're doing it the right way as far as getting fans and everyone excited, because I think we're going to the game, the first game.
Oh, absolutely. I'll be there.
We'll be there.
We'll be watching Manuel. We'll be watching him.
For sure.
Play
for sure.
We're
making,
Forge,
we're making
for
that
sure.
trip up to Hamilton, it looks like. So we'll be there.
We'll be there.
I'm just happy that there's finally a league here. And I know there's going to be naysayers out there that, well, what's this Canadian league? I think an article was written by a journalist that said he won't cover some small potato league. And that's not the way it should be reported. It's a development league to try to get our national team better, like you said, and to give these guys somewhere to go after they come back. It's, you know, that guys that want to keep going.
Yeah,
it's perfect.
Yeah, go ahead, Mano. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you just have to look at the MLS as an example of that,
exactly.
Right? Yeah. I mean, look at what it's become.
Yeah, right. We went from dribbling. What are they?
At half?
Yeah, we're dribbling at half for breakaway, breakaway PKs, Mano.
Yeah.
And playing on football fields with the line still at that level.
With the clock counting down instead of counting up. Yeah.
Right? To soccer-specific stadiums, right? And the level of play and stuff. So,
exactly.
I mean, this is what, you know, we talked about with Emmanuel. Like, a young player doesn't have to take a chance and go to mom and dad and say, hey, I want to go pro and I have to move here. And Emmanuel was lucky enough to have a European passport, right, Emmanuel? Because that's
a big thing too,
right?
That's the biggest thing. Yeah, yeah.
Right?
You need one, or else it's very difficult to make it there.
Yeah. Right. And when we talk about this, there's Emmanuel and Mathieu who are both looking at the same opportunity back 4 or 5 years ago, and Mathieu did not have a European passport at the time. Emmanuel did, right? So these were both guys in the youth, you know, Canadian youth system. You know, Emmanuel actually scored a goal. Emmanuel, you correct me if I'm wrong, scored a goal against the United States in a friendly, correct?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, kind of a half volley, was it? Something like that?
He remembers.
It was shot from outside. It wasn't half volley. But Reggie,
he remembers.
This guy is half volley. It's like me making a 5-yard pass. You know, like he does it like, it's
like
amazing.
It's
I got to tell the story. I know we're going on, but Reg, here I am coaching Emmanuel. Both footed, by the way. Like, he's got, you know, great with both feet. Smooth, not kicking the ball. He's not hitting the ball, not doing the ball with his right foot at all. Like, what is going on here? not skipping a beat, Reg.
Talked to his dad.
Said, what's wrong with Manuel's foot there? It's like, I mean, he's not using his right foot at all. His dad nonchalantly says, well, I think he's got a little injury. He had a broken bone on his foot.
His right foot?
On the top of it. A little crack. Just a little crack, Reg.
Yeah.
So he's doing this for like a couple of weeks, and he's just using his left foot.
And he's still the best out there.
He's still class. Right? That's again, so we talk about loving the game, loving the work, loving the process, you know? That's why everybody with these, you know, I love it when young people say putting in the work. I mean, this kid does it. So, listen, man, we could talk to you forever. We're going to have you back on again. We're going to follow this guy, right, Reg?
Yeah, definitely. Because right? when the CPL starts and they play their first game, I want to get him back on so he can tell us exactly, how it went, how it is compared to in Greece. I know the Greece league's probably going to be a little bit of higher quality because of the players that are there. But
sure.
Just to see how it is and if he sees it something that could sustain for years to come. So we'll definitely have him back on the show.
So before we go to close it up shop with Manuel, your favorite player growing up, who's your favorite guy to watch?
That's the toughest question, I think.
Got a couple?
It's a tough one.
I mean, I know some answers, but I'll let him.
Oh, okay.
I would have to say Iniesta.
Okay, that's not bad.
That's pretty interesting, man. I tell you.
That's not bad. That's one guy I can get. Him and Xavi, I can get behind. No problem.
This is,
no problem. And I guess you model your game after him, too, right? So. And
and now you can get to it, Reg.
What's your team? I hope you're not one of those guys that has a team in every league.
No. Man U. From a young boy.
Boy. Tough result today.
This is a guy. I know. I can't speak, Reg. I'm tough result for me, too. But yeah, that was a tough one.
You're taking the pressure off Arsenal. Yeah. I love it.
Man, are they going to crack top four? Is Man United going to finish top four?
I think so, 100%.
100%, Reg, you heard it there.
They're going to be fighting with Tottenham.
We know Arsenal's going to choke in the
end. We were friends until here, eh, Reg?
Listen,
you guys.
Listen, we were 10 points out. How many weeks ago, Joe? Please, 4 weeks ago, we were 10, not even four, like longer than that. Six weeks, 10 points out.
I didn't expect this bite from this guy.
We're in third now. We're good. Don't worry about us. I remember United came to the Emirates a couple of weeks ago, no? And didn't they get turned over? I'm just saying.
So, Reg, are we still going to have Mano back on?
Well, it depends how the season ends.
It keeps going like this. I don't know.
It depends. If we finish third, you can come on anytime he wants because I can tell him about it.
So, Mano, thanks, buddy. So, again, we wish you all the best with York 9.
Definitely.
And, of course, the staff all there and good friends of ours. And we wish you all the best in personally and, of course, with the team. Thank you. We will be there and we'll be supporting you.
Definitely.
Thank you so much for having me again, guys.
No problem. So, guys, that's our show for this week. Thanks to Marcus Hansen at First Touch Football for getting us our special guest interview with Emmanuel Zambasis. And look out for him and the rest of the York 9 team and the rest of the CPL when their season starts in a couple of weeks. You can go on any form of social media and get information on all the teams that are in the league. So it's something that we need to support as Canadian football fans and get behind and definitely go out there and support. So guys, thanks for listening and we'll catch you next week.